have just a few more things this morning before we get to go to the treats. I'm going to offer a few words, but first let's give our attention to this final reading from God's Word.
I'm your favorite person in the tree. This reading is from Matthew 2, 4 through 6. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for it is written to be by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Thank you, Justice. In 2006, kids, this is going to be a gross story, so you'll like it. In 2006, I ran across a story of a man named John Jenkins. He lived in Morgantown, West Virginia, and the Associated Press was covering his story. Why? Well, Mr. Jenkins was the plant operator at Northwest Fuels Development, Inc. So they handled fuel, especially natural gas, and they were doing a construction project that he was overseeing, and while he was out there, it was time for a smoke break, and he went into the Portageon to take care of things and do his smoke break. And he lit up his cigarette, and this is what the AP News report said. Mr. Jenkins said this. I want to give him an accent, but I'll try not to. "When I struck the lighter, the whole thing just detonated. The whole top blew off. I don't know if it blew me out or if I jumped out, but the whole thing blew up." An investigation revealed that as the heavy equipment was doing this work on the area, they had run over a natural gas line and broken it, and it was leaking up into the Portageon, creating a place that when kids, if you have a gas like that, it's very dangerous. It didn't have the egg smell in it yet. If you smell eggs, get out of the house. He did not smell eggs. He lit his lighter, and something unnoticed, small, and yet very powerful, had showed up in his presence. And exploded, and everything changed. That sentence is a sentence of what Christmas is. Something small, almost unnoticed, a babe, comes to a city called Bethlehem. We as a church have been talking about in Advent the secondary meaning that the church has used for history about the meaning of these candles. We talked last week about the prophet candle. Today is the Bethlehem candle. Kids, did you know that you just were in the town of Bethlehem? Right? But here's the thing. The Christmas story is that a small, almost unnoticed source of power showed up in the funky, disgusting, gross, foul town of Bethlehem. Now, what you should say is, well, Todd, why are you being so down on Bethlehem? I mean, it's a great city, right? If you know the Bible story, or if you know Christmas songs, you know that it was the city of David. It was the royal city, the place where promises had been made that the Messiah would come, and then it was the place of fulfillment because that Messiah had come. But what we forget is the even bigger story of Bethlehem. Yes, David had lived there. David had ruled there. Promises had been made that the final king was going to come, and that king was Jesus. But well before then, Bethlehem was mentioned the very first time in God's story of the Bible, his true story of the Bible, is that passage that parents, you see written down there. What was Bethlehem first known for? The burial, the death and burial of Jesus' great, 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 and a lot more great grandmother. So that when God's people thought of Bethlehem, they went, oh yeah, that's where Rachel is buried. And so that's why we sit here in 2023 and go, Bethlehem, it's Christmas, what a great story. God's people went, yeah, there's a tombstone there. And that makes sense of absolutely why the birth of the Savior would go there to explode, right? Because the true story of the world is the story that God has given us in His Word, and it is that we were made for goodness, we were made for beauty, we were made to enjoy relationship with Him, with ourselves, with one another in His world, but that we rebelled and we threw a coup, and because of that, all of those relationships went like an outhouse and started to smell and were ugly. But God said, I will rescue and fix that situation. And He started a plan to do it, and it took thousands of years, but eventually He took our flesh to enter into the outhouse of the world where death happens and to explode it with life and joy and happiness and restoration, so that one day He will come and remake everything in a final restoration. And so, in the middle of a town known for tears, in a tombstone, the Messiah shows up to say, things are going to get interesting, and I am making all things new. You see, God did this remaking not by giving us a path to follow, not by giving us behavior to obey, but by giving us a person. God didn't say, I'll fix things by saying, hey, here's a system of payback. You do your part, I'll do my part, and we'll work in this kind of consumeristic American way. He said, I come by grace in a person who will take on flesh as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work out their plan of the Son taking on flesh to live the life we could never live and die the death we deserved for our rebellion. And so He gave us a person, not a payback system, because God always works on grace. I have in my office this picture hanging. I'll walk it around in a second. It's called The First Burial, and I have to tell the story behind it. It is in the Petit Palace in Paris. If you ever go there, go see this. Laura and I were able to go to Paris a few years ago, and when we walked in, I saw this statue, and it's about 10 feet tall, sitting in front of me, and I just stopped because I knew what it was. The First Burial. I'll walk it around and be loud. It's a picture of Adam and Eve, our first parents, holding their son, who was killed by his brother. And I have this because of the sadness that it brought on just in seeing this, but don't you go, why do you have such a sad picture in your office? Because what I also know is that I can imagine, because I know it's true, because a silent babe came in and exploded the world with joy in the place of burial, I imagine a hand grenade being dropped in the middle here and exploding this statue. Because that's what the good, true story of Jesus is doing to all tears, to all death, to all sadness. He is writing a new story of hope. It is the story of Christmas. That in the middle of Bethlehem, God showed up. And He said, this city, Bethlehem, is going to be known for something new. No longer for death, no longer for tears, but for joy, for light, for hope, for love. And so in the next few weeks, what does our nation even do? We sing those songs. We join in that joy. Because Jesus showed up. And it's good news to the world. Let's pray. We simply invite you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to explode in our hearts the next few weeks. Bring your joy, your newness into the midst of our tears or anything hard we face. May we know your person and your work there. In your name we pray. Amen. I believe, let's stand and we will sing Joy to the World.